landlords, lettings and deposits. Expert advice from Hamilton Fraser.
Welcome to Hamilton Fraser's podcast for April 2019, which we've called Taxing Times. Delighted to have, as usual, my cohort in crime, Paul Champlina, founder of Landlord Action and director of Hamilton Fraser. Hi, Paul.
Hello, how are you, Eddie?
Not too bad. It's been a few months now. A
couple of months, yes.
Great to have you back.
Thank you very much. Let's try and save some money to the landlords.
Please. Also delighted to have the founding director of Less Tax for Landlord, Tony Gimple. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Eddie. Good
Welcome
to be here again.
Welcome back again.
Thank you.
I think it was about a year ago.
It was.
And
it
have
was.
Things changed?
Oh, yeah, man. Seriously changed.
Let's talk just tax today, because I think we did a survey a couple of months ago, Hamilton Fraser did, which the number one topic people wanted to talk about or hear about was tax, and we're going to dedicate the whole of this podcast to tax to get as much out of you, a bit like HMRC,
yep.
really,
Absolutely.
As we can from you, Tony. So let's just dive straight in.
Okay.
What are the government plans for 2019, a year on from when we last spoke?
You mean to survive Brexit? That'd be a good place to start.
We have to charge you some money now because you mentioned the dreaded words Brexit.
The B word.
We were trying to get away from B and talk about T.
I will quite.
But don't have a P during the
absolutely, absolutely not. I will quite happily contribute to the. Let's keep Brexit honest and leave on the 29th. Thank you very much.
You've heard it from here.
Absolutely right. So let's have a look at tax. Yes, it's the most popular phrase amongst landlords. However, they're looking at things through the wrong end of the telescope. Mm. You shouldn't let the tax tail wag the planning dog. What portfolio landlords, that's more than four properties over and above their principal private residence, should be concentrating on is how to build, run and grow a professional property business. Mm. That is fully in line with government policy to privatise the sector. Tax plans, well, it's to raise as much money as possible with the least effort from the widest number of people. And there's no joined up tax policy. There's no joined up tax legislation. Governments since the war of all hues have failed to invest in UK PLC in infrastructure. And raising taxes for landlords, the infamous tenant tax, Section 24, was the most short-sighted thing that any government could do.
Mm.
Having said that, those people who never intended to be in property, those people who have simply inherited a property...
Just give a quick outline of Section 24,
okay.
Because a lot of people listening to this actually, unfortunately, won't even understand...
Or even heard of it.
Or even
still
heard
of
it.
I mean,
yeah.
25% of landlords, when we did a survey 2 years ago, for my deposits, hadn't even heard of Section 24.
Right, so Section 24 is the capping of mortgage interest relief for higher rate taxpayers. If you're a basic rate taxpayer, and will always be one, Section 24 will not affect you. You can still get the maximum amount of tax relief against your interest payments. If, however, you're a higher rate taxpayer,
which the majority of landlords are,
particularly in the southeast, by the time we get into the next tax year, the maximum relief you can claim will be basic rate relief. And that has a whole range of terminal problems. We're now seeing that by June this year, around about my 60th birthday, I know
Happy
I don't
birthday.
Look at it.
You don't at all. I was going to say.
Thank you so much,
yeah.
Paul. Yeah, I would make
give
all
me the tenner, but don't declare it.
Absolutely, cash the cash economy. I would quite happily make all the same mistakes again, just for the simple aphrodisiac of youth. Guys, it's wasted on you. Enjoy it whilst you can, okay? By the time we get into June this year, we will be seeing landlords, effectively with a lot of social housing, real proper social landlords, their tax bill will exceed their profit in the current tax year.
You say social landlords, just to explain that, why are you saying particularly social landlords?
Well, because the term social landlord typically applies to those who are local authorities.
Yes.
However, renting is now the second biggest tenure
21%,
and it's rising.
Correct.
Yeah, and so we have landlords on our books who take the place of local authorities.
Yes.
Where local authorities don't have the money,
yeah.
So they are now effectively social landlords.
But those landlords are also exiting the benefit market.
Well, whether somebody's on benefit or not doesn't necessarily make a great deal of difference. If you're providing good quality rental accommodation where your local authority can't, whether the tenant is on benefits, universal credit, is by the by. But what we're finding is because of the tax changes, people's tax bills will exceed their profit in the tax year. And that is causing a whole load of problems for
them.
It's
frightening, isn't it?
It's really scary.
Which is why we do a lot of work here to try and educate, with your help, Tony, thank you, landlords with their... It's about tax planning, isn't it?
It's about business planning. Mm. You've got to forget the tax word.
And looking at an exit plan as well.
Mm.
And that is part of business planning.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, a business, you know, any business, be it the corner shop, insurance company, podcasting, media, accountancy, professions, running
a business plan.
You will need a business plan.
Mm.
It's got to know two things. Where you are now and where you want to finish.
Mm.
Once you've got that, then you can reverse engineer the process and make sure you've got a successful trading business capable of being passed on to your heirs, so wealth cascades down the generation.
Mm.
So it really is for the many and not the few.
Yeah. So what other taxes do landlords pay? So you've got the Section 24, which is obviously tax on income.
Well, it's actually tax on turnover.
Yeah, sorry,
In real terms. Mm. So... A private landlord, sole trader, say, or in a simple partnership, will pay income tax, capital gains tax, and inheritance tax.
Tax on tax on tax.
Tax on tax on tax. Don't even begin to work out how much the pound in your pocket is really worth.
Yeah.
It's probably worth eightpence after it's gone through the system. You know, bear in mind, you know, we no longer have a gold standard or an asset-based economy.
Mm.
Yeah. So it is tax on tax on tax. Mm. And if landlords make the huge mistake of stepping into George Osborne's bear trap and incorporating their portfolio, becoming a limited company, they might as well give up the ghost completely.
Well, I mean, I'm going to come on to that, actually. That led me straight into something I was going to ask you, which is a lot of questions which come in is, what is now, Tony, the best status for a landlord to set up their portfolio or change their portfolio into?
Well, if they're running it as a business and their motivation is not about tax, then by far the best way to run it is in what's called a mixed partnership. Now, these are perfectly legal.
Okay.
A mixed partnership is a combination of natural persons, you and I, you know, living, breathing, and artificial persons, in this case a limited company, operating both as members within a limited liability partnership, an LLP. And these are very lender friendly, by the way.
Mm.
You know, they're a great way of running any business.
They're accepted by the mortgage company.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. Unlike some of the incorporation routes where, you know, you effectively have to use what are called beneficial interest company trusts, which are not accepted, because there's no way that the lenders can perfect their security.
But can you put your home into this?
No,
you can't.
You can't.
So
no.
It's not suitable for the one property landlord.
For you're not running a business.
Yeah.
You need to be able to show that you're a proper portfolio landlord, that there are commercial reasons why you want to put your properties into a business structure. Your principal private residence, your own home, is your own home.
Right,
so Tony, I need to ask a question. On the business structure you just explained,
yep.
Bearing in mind, you know, Section 24 came, what, 3 years ago?
Yep.
We're now coming up to the fourth year. And I think because we have so many landlords and there's so many landlords out there that don't really understand what their liability is going to be until the tax return after, what's the viewpoint with regard to the inland revenue? You know, and obviously this business structure, you know, because obviously you've got landlords. You told me that Less Tax for Landlords has over £500 million worth of landlords that have got property, property within that. So obviously, you know, you're acting for these landlords now, and obviously you're working on their returns and stuff like that. Because obviously it's quite new, and obviously a lot of people don't know what's the, you know, to give, you know, to give some landlords some peace of mind out there. And we have a lot of portfolio landlords within Hamilton Fraser Group, and obviously listen to this podcast. What advice would you give to them about, you know, the Inland Revenue and about these returns and these structures?
First of all, don't do it yourself. And you have
to. I say that about evictions, obviously.
Absolutely. It's not a question of setting the boys around Port.
Of course.
So you have to seek professional advice. You've got to be able to justify a business case. Everything we do is based upon HMRC guidelines and practice.
And just one thing I want to say for the listeners, I met Tony at his Euston office, and above him is the HMRC's office. Quite handy you have an office within HMRC.
We're actually above 19 floors of HMRC.
Oh, you're above 19 floors.
And it's nice to be on top of the taxpayer, as they say.
For once.
Look, as long as you're not doing this simply or mainly to gain a tax advantage, the rules are very clear. You are allowed to do it.
Give us some of those headline points that you can do.
Okay, so something you can manage it as a business. So you've got to have succession planning. You've got to have a business planning. You've got to have a business plan. You've got to be able to, you know, show that you're running it as a business and not a hobby. Typically, that would be 19 hours a week. The Ramsey judgment. So you've got to have all of the elements within HMRC's guidelines, and there are a whole range of them. Moreover, you've got to be able to show that this is not just about you and the family. It's about contributing as any other business would to society. Now, if you were to incorporate...
And you pay corporation tax?
No, you don't.
You don't?
No. So, effectively, as a member in a limited liability partnership, you know, partner...
LLP.
Which have been around for 20 years
And accountants
enough.
And lawyers at
accountants,
LLPs, aren't they?
Lawyers, estate agents, insurance companies, the world and its mother. Uses limited liability partnerships. They are highly effective.
But you better, so obviously you pay income tax on everything.
So yes, what you'll pay is effectively income tax. excuse me, and to a degree in due course on your personally held assets, inheritance tax, and of course national insurance. Whereas if you were to incorporate your portfolio, transfer it into a limited company.
Follow me now.
Then it starts to get very expensive. First of all, it's a one-way street.
Then you have to change all the mortgages, don't you?
You've got to change, because there's a change limited of legal companies. Person
That's
from
expensive.
You to a limited company. Yes. So you've got early redemption charges. You've got a whole range of problems that will go with it. And then you've got corporation tax, income tax, employers NIC, employees NIC. If you sell a property, corporation tax, and capital gains tax, you've got inheritance tax. There's a whole raft of measures which show that incorporating your portfolio make no commercial sense whatsoever. Mm. You know, we've crunched the numbers, and we've probably talked to 5,000 people over the last 3 years, and we haven't found one for whom this makes any kind of business sense whatsoever.
So, I mean, what I'm taking out of that, Tony, is first of all, listeners, please read up on Section 24.
Yep.
Talk to your accountant or Tony at Less Tax for Landlords. Another question that comes up, which I know there was some changes a couple of years ago as well, which is about expenses.
Yes.
So what can a landlord claim for or offset?
Are you referring to wear and tear?
Well, I'm talking generically, but wear and tear is the big change that came in a couple of years ago, where it was a standardised, am I right?
Well, wear and tear allowance has to be now claimed in the year in which it's occurred.
Yeah.
You can't carry it forward anymore. So, you know, there used to be a thing where you got 10% a year, or you create artificial losses, carry them forward. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
You can only claim them in the tax year.
And what about things like driving to and from different properties? Are they all allowable expenses?
that if you're running a business, you know, the cost you've got, and you can prove that you've and you prove that you've incurred the costs, well, they, you know, all come off the top line, clearly. Mm. Yeah, but you can't artificially inflate them just to reduce your tax.
So rate. I think guys out there that employing, whether you have one property or you have a multiple properties, employing a good accountant actually could well be a good saver for you.
Well, the vast majority of accountants do not understand how Section 24 and running mixed partnerships actually work. They're GPs. Yeah, general, and they tend practitioners. And they tend to be reactive. You know, the thing that will mark out a good advisor is they accept that you don't know what you don't know, and the only thing you buy from your advisor is that which you know and they don't. Mm. You know, so there has to be a whole process, not just send me a box of bills and I'll do your tax returns based upon your advice. You know, the Nuremberg defence, I'm acting under your instruction, doesn't wash. That's what you're paying a professional for.
Yeah. And Tony, I've got a couple of questions. So obviously, we see at Landlord Action, you know, we're running hundreds of cases at a time for landlords, mostly for rent arrears, but we are and have been for the last 2 to 3 years seeing landlords exit the marketplace. Yes. One, because of loads of legislation changes and the rhetoric as well about being a landlord, but of course the tax changes and I've had portfolio landlords breaking up their portfolio. What trends are you seeing at Less Tax for Landlords? So, you know, you'll have landlords that will come to you for advice. Are a lot of them selling, or you're advising to break up, or you're saying, no, keep your portfolio and we're strategised? I mean, what type of trends are you seeing now? Because 2-3 years in, since Section 24 has now really kicked in, what have you seen a difference with regard to instructions?
Right, well, we're seeing a significant rise in instructions. The volume is increasing exponentially. People are realising that this is no longer a hobby, that they've got to run it as a professional property business. Where we've got people with one or two properties with no intention of growing, it has been the traditional hobby business.
Now, and what do you say to those guys, which is 85-90% of actually the marketplace, you know, the ones and twos landlords?
Right, so what we say to them is pay down your mortgages,
right,
clear them off, have good long-term tenants in well-maintained properties.
With no voids.
No voids. Mm. Talk to a good financial advisor about inheritance tax, and start to move forward that way.
Right,
okay. If, however, you're a serious landlord, you want to build a professional property business
and buy freedom, effectively.
Buy freedom, and that's what this is. Yeah. This is all about financial freedom, it's less choices, burden on the state.
Career choices,
Work with the system. Make sure you've got good quality products, good quality tenants, good quality legal agreements. But the rules of cricket always help. Don't over leverage. You know, 65% loan to value is a good number. And make sure you can accept that you don't know what you don't know, and speak with people who are specialists within the area.
And I actually, and that's all really good advice, Tony. But I think what I see, and I've just written a book with Kate Faulkner called The Landlord's Friend. I think the biggest problem we have with landlords, a lot of them penny pinch. And they don't put a price on their time, and you'll be the first to admit that when obviously you speak to landlords, is actually, especially the management of properties is really difficult. It's very time consuming, trying to keep up to speed, and actually get a really good letting agent that's referred to you to deal with all that management stuff.
Yeah, look, we have landlords who do everything from social housing, work with local authorities, all the way through to really high-end HMOs. You've got to accept that you don't know what you don't know, work with people who are experts in their field, and understand your own business.
I think they are some fantastic tips, Tony. And I thought I knew a lot about it. Actually, I've learned quite a lot in the last 20 minutes. So I just want to say thank you for... I mean, it is a big subject, and I understand that we've only got a limited amount of time, but we've got some guides going up on our website, www.hamiltonfraser.co.uk, and some of our other websites as well. So download those. Tony's going to check them for us just to make sure that we're giving the right advice. Thank you, Tony. But always worth, I think the tax is one of those areas which is often forgotten but hurts the most.
Yep.
It's one of the heavy bits. So thank you, Tony.
My pleasure.
I'll can I come back to you in a moment with the famous £1 million question. I'm going to chuck over to Paul now. Let's talk a little bit, Paul, about the breaking news. I know we haven't got a lot of time left. There's only a couple of items. You wanted to talk a little bit about longer-term tenancies and the Housing Court.
Yes, so there's currently the consultations have now ended. So the government now are encouraging landlords to give longer-term tenancies. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're doing that is more so for families to give greater security for children. So I filed something on behalf of Hamilton Fraser, and I know Sean Hooker for the Property Redress Scheme. The biggest problem that landlords worry about is trying to gain possession. Yep. So they're looking at 3-year tenancies with 6-month break clause. We think it should be optional and not mandatory. If it was mandatory, it'd be another nail in the coffin. But actually, you know, 75% of tenants out there want 6- and 12-month tenancies, and really 75% want the shorter term tenancy. They want to be more transient. A lot of landlords would actually be happy to give tenants longer term tenancies once they've proved in the business relation they've been a good tenant, they pay the rent on time, they look after property, you know, because it is all about business relationships. So I actually myself think it's quite a good idea, but I actually think landlords should be incentivized to give longer term tenancies. There's not a lot coming back from the government, as we've just talked about in this clip, especially about
tax. They
were
talking about that, weren't they, at one point?
They will be. So the consultation's still going ahead.
Yeah.
So we'll see, there'll be some working groups and maybe we'll be involved in that. But I mean, last week I went up to Leeds and we filed a consultation for landlord action about housing courts. So the government are looking at housing courts, specialist courts. My viewpoint and the company's viewpoint, and it got reiterated once I had the meeting with various different people, stakeholders in the industry, is that a housing court wouldn't really work. It's actually, we'll do what you're doing now, but better. You know, if you think about the court fee, well, initially 7 years ago was £100. It's now £350. It's gone up 300-odd%. So we need more. We need more bailiffs, more judges. It needs to be a lot more online. It needs to be a lot more slicker. So my personal opinion is, and there was over 700 consultations on this.
That's a big consultation.
It's a big consultation because lots of landlords, letting agents and tenant groups feel strongly about, obviously, about possession cases, is that housing courts wouldn't really work because, of course, and actually one thing I did found out, there was a couple of judges that were on the consultation, and one judge said that there was a recent survey in the Ministry of Justice, and the mood of judges was at an all-time low. Morale was at an all-time low with judges, which was quite depressing to hear, actually.
Well, well done on going up to Leeds, Paul, and let's keep these consultations going. I do have a couple of quick words on client money protection, which is being made mandatory. Actually, by the time you hear this podcast, actually, it will be law, 1st of April 2019. And, of course, client money protection is close to Hamilton Fraser's heart because we've just been appointed as a approved client money protection scheme. The scheme's called Client Money Protect. You'll be able to see our logo in hopefully thousands of letting agents across the land. A few words on Client Money Protect and the general legislation, Paul.
I feel really strongly about this, and actually, and I've mentioned this to you, for me, that was part of the pull why I wanted to be part of the Hamilton Fraser family, you know, along with all everything else. And a move landlord action, which happened in July 2017, was because I've dealt with landlords for 25 years, landlord action for 18 years, I've seen the bad side when everything goes wrong. And I've seen so many rogue letting agents over there stealing landlords' rents and tenants' deposits. And, you know, I mention this all the time. I had a conversation with a journalist, 2001, 2002, on a story I exposed about a dodgy agent in London. And we were talking about it then. Why is it not mandatory? You know, you book your holiday firm goes bust, why you're covered. Why are these letting agents holding thousands and thousands and
thousands
of money?
Hundreds
of thousands of money. And then it goes tough 1 month. And they dip in, and they dip in, and there's a big black hole. So, I mean, you'll know, obviously, I'm currently filming a new series for Channel 5, which is coming out in June. And I always expose a dodgy letting agent to try and educate landlords and tenants, but also, you know, there's really good letting agents out there, and some of these dodgy agents are giving the good agents a bad name. Yeah. And a problem you have is that if you have a landlord that's been a victim of these letting agents, what happens is they move their stock out of the fully managed arena and they self-manage, which is a problem, because I always recommend a landlord to use a letting agent, especially if they're working full-time.
So the tip for you guys out there is, if you're using a letting agent, ask.
Always ask.
Have they got client money protection? If they're with Client Money Protect, then you know that it's a very good client money protection scheme and you will be completely protected. So thank you for that, Paul. I've got to come back to Tony. Sorry, I know you're sitting there looking overly comfortable. I'm going to get your brain working again.
Well, are you saying it didn't work beforehand?
I'm going to switch from paying tax. I'm actually going to give you, Tony, because I'm not HMRC.
Neither am I, thankfully.
£1 million.
Yep.
All right.
Is that pretend or is that real?
£1 million.
I'll give you my bank account details. Okay.
Is that in cash, or is that a BACS payment?
We have changed.
I'm not doing money laundering.
I just need to get more
Paul's
details.
Paul's pushing me here.
Well, I know, but don't forget, no one can see, so I have to feel.
£1 million in front of.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Of Tony now. We have changed the question from last year, so we're not going to ask you to repeat your answer from last year. We're getting clever here at Hamilton Fraser. Right. You know, we know people like you. If you could make one property related law, what would it be?
One property related law.
You've got £1 million to spend on it, so you've got some advertising money there for you.
£1 million to spend on lobbying
caught him.
Yeah, you have actually. what would I change? I'd probably abolish Section 24.
I thought you were going to say that. Yeah.
Because
you think it's an unfair tax, and I don't think many people would disagree.
It's ill thought through.
Yeah.
It's not doing the right thing, and it's typical knee-jerk reaction from governments of all colours.
Do you think they will reverse Section 24 or water it down? And do you think they'll increase the threshold?
They have set a huge bear trap. Yeah, they're forcing people to incorporate their portfolios as a way of getting over Section 24. And if you do any of the calculations, it's a one-way street, horribly expensive, and probably in a couple of years' time, regardless of which government we have in place, they will now say that if you are renting out residential properties, whether you're in a limited, whether you're not, sorry, specifically, if you're in a limited company, you will be now taxed at higher rates.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I think, we know where you are now, so please don't just turn up at Tony's office. I think a phone call or an email would be much more for the volumes that you are dealing with.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you again.
Thank you, Tony.
Absolutely.
It's always fun.
I also want to say thank you to Paul. I'm doing a bit of a plug for you, Paul, because otherwise, if you'd have been in my chair, you'd have plugged. You've got a new book out called The Landlord's Friend. It's a second edition. It's written by yourself and a well-known property journalist called Kate Faulkner. It's available in good bookstores, but on Amazon. Or if you join Hamilton Fraser under our total landlord insurance, we'll send you one for free. But very quickly, Paul, what is the book? Why should landlords read it?
So, writing a book, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. It's like pulling teeth out.
I might call you J.K. Rowling. Okay. You've got 7 of these things coming out.
She makes a lot more money, believe you me. I did it as a guidebook, really, to talk. I mean, you could imagine from 15 to 19, that's 4 years, and it more or less, it took me almost a year to write the changes. So I've done it the flow of sourcing, buying a property, getting advice, advertising, sustaining management, giving updates and all. So I wrote it with Kate. You know, for us, it's just education, you know, and which is what we're all about and what we try and do at Hamilton Fraser. So, it is a good read. And actually, it's cheaper than a pack of fags. Did you know that, Eddie?
I don't smoke.
I know, but I know you vape.
Yeah, I don't smoke
but
anymore.
But it's £10. It's cheaper than a pack
of
bags.
And you can get it on Amazon.
You can get it on Amazon. By the time this comes out, it will be on Amazon. And as you said, you know, any new clients that look to buy insurance from us, we are going to give it away for free.
I've read the book, and I must say it is not a difficult read. There's a lot of good advice and some real practical tips. I do recommend you buying it, but well done, Paul. I didn't think I was getting involved with a media star when we bought Landlord Action, but I'm absolutely delighted that we are. So thank you, everybody. That comes to the end of our podcast for April. I look forward to seeing you again, Tony, maybe in another 12 months. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thanks, guys.